Welcome back to New Rockstars Rogue Theory. I'm Philip Molina. This is a show where we bring together some fun nerds and they offer their ideas and theories about multiple topics. We cover multiple things. You guys lately have been wondering why we move on to other topics. We do like three or four topics each one of these episodes. Anything that's on our minds or in that nerdy zeitgeist. On today's episode, we have New Rockstars' own Eric Voss.
Oh, well, hello there.
Hi.
Yeah. And then from the Godzilla versus Podcast Zero.
That's right. You got it.
We have Haley Mancini.
Woo! Thanks.
And then we skipped over just our lifelong friend, David Dong.
David Dong. Yeah.
But David actually has known, I think, Eric and I longer than our parents.
Yes.
Yeah. At this point, yeah.
Well, you've always existed, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I was part of the whole thing.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He's part of us. I see David in the smile of every child.
reminder, you can listen to this show on Rogue Theory podcast feed. It comes out way earlier than the video version. On this episode, we have some Rogue Theories about Thor 4, It 2, Stranger Things 3, topics 4 and more, and anything with a number in it, basically, we'll talk about. But first up, we got to talk about It Chapter 2.
Yes.
Yeah. So final trailer for It Chapter 2 came out this week, and we get a lot more of the grown-up version of the Losers Club in it. It's 27 years after the events of the film. So first off, like, I'm down to hear first reactions, but I have a very specific question I want to get to in a second.
I mean, I thought it was scary. It was good. I was excited.
I got scared.
I get scared. Yeah, I peed myself. I thought it was a really well done trailer as well. Like, just kind of really putting everything together. And Pennywise was terrifying. Yeah. And I'm really excited.
Yeah, you can't ask for a better adult cast. Like this, it sounds like this is the dream cast of the child actors. They all asked them after the first movie, so who do you want to play the adult version of yourself? And Finn Wolfhard was like, if you could get Bill Hader, that'd be great. And they did. They went and got Jessica Chastain and Bill Hader. And they, for the most part,
They asked Stephen Hawking who they would like to play.
Yeah, that's
James McAvoy. Yeah.
I like that Finn Wolfhard is like, I'm Bill Hader now. Wow, I've been on SNL.
He doesn't understand how aging works.
What a storied career I've had.
Yeah, yeah. And Barry, I mean, who thought I'd go there? And yes, it's terrifying. One of the most terrifying moments for me is at the end where we see our Skarsgård actor playing Pennywise the Clown, but kind of out of makeup or semi out of makeup.
That was so scary.
Yeah, he just is like a dude that you'd probably see on like Hollywood Boulevard. Charles?
You smell him before you see him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like a dog, ears perk up. Yeah. And just runs off.
Oh, it's Chuck.
So with that, and Pennywise, and especially this like grotesque version of him, also Joker is coming out.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Heath Ledger.
Like, you're the clown.
Right, so I am thinking off of this clown thing and clowns creeping us out, and I think that's kind of a well-discussed, well-storied history of clowns hurting people.
Classic.
Yeah. You guys all took that class, too.
It was old
time.
Yeah, exactly. Disney's doing their remake of the clown murders.
CG clown.
It's the first thing you study in forensic psychology. Is like, you have to check off.
So why do clowns kill
exactly.
Yeah. Report to us the scariest clown you know, and we'll put it on the list.
Like a Mindhunter season that's only clowns are
just clowns.
Yeah. My question is actually adjacent to clowns. It's about carnivals.
Ooh. Mm.
What is it about carnivals that creep us out so much? And I'm going to point out to you the number of carnival scenes and creepy carnivals we've had in the last 12 months. It's insane. We've had Us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Joker has a scene at a carnival. Shazam. Takes place at a carnival.
Right.
Part of the Mary Poppins movie. Toy Story 4.
Stranger Things.
Stranger Things obviously has a major thing in it. Love, Simon, which is terrifying.
Terrifying.
No, it's like carnivals are having a moment, kind of like Keanu.
The Carney Lobby was putting a lot of effort into this. Yeah, they've been saving up.
Just a briefcase full of tickets.
Yeah, exactly. Trump is president. They saw their opening.
What does the Carney Lobby push for?
More whack-a-moles.
More representation.
Yeah. Carney representation.
Yeah.
Carney right to vote.
They currently do not.
Over
because most of them are
dead bodies.
That's true. In Florida, they're allowed to vote now.
Well, not according to the GOP legislature.
Yeah, that's right.
They're working on that.
So going into this thing with carnivals. So, yeah, I want to understand what it is about this place that's supposed to be for joy that internally just apparently creeps us out.
You know, maybe it's like a fake joy thing, because I remember as a kid, like every year our school would have a fundraising carnival, mm-hmm. and you get really excited. We see all the lights, the colors. You think of the fun weekend that you are going to have. But then afterwards, maybe this is just me speaking, once you go there, it actually becomes like this weird sadness, because you get separated from your friends. There's an odd number of your friends. You're always the one who has
to
go by yourself.
It's a joke. It's a prank the whole time.
Yeah, and then they shut down the Hall of Mirrors.
Yeah,
and then you're trapped in there for the whole weekend.
They dump blood all over you.
Yeah, yeah.
You get kidnapped with the carnies. You become a carny for a couple years.
But it is this thing where I've had most of that experience too, where it's that forced joy thing, and like we're gonna have so much fun, and then like by the end, like you have a little puke and a little blood on your shirt,
right,
and like you cry in front of your friends.
I think it's the impermanence. I think
interesting.
Yeah, I think like the fact that it's like here one day and then gone the next, like there's something about that where it's like this whole world gets built and then one day the carnival's just gone. Like that's what I remember when I was a kid, is that you'd see like a carnival come into town and like you'd just see it there. It would just be up and you're like, oh, cool, carnival came to town. Let's go. And you go do it and then 2 days later, you drive by and it's just an empty field. That's creepy.
That's fascinating. It's
like
it's a ghost.
It's a ghost
event.
Yeah, exactly.
Every carny is a ghost too.
Right. Yeah, well, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
They're trying to cheer you up. You won this big plush bear, and you're just like, it doesn't matter. This will be vacant
in
24
hours.
This bear is almost gone any second now.
That's why they're not registered to vote. They're ghosts. It's just how it goes.
Just a franchise ghost. What do you think?
I wonder if it's like connected to, like, I think carnivals are connected to like children's rite of passage,
sure.
Right? Like one of the ways,
first big times out for a child.
Mm-hmm. And so I think because a lot of these movies that we touch on are connected about kids, right? And like Spider-Man, you know, It, mm-hmm. they're all, you know, Stranger Things, they're always about like kids sort of being on their own for the first time.
Yeah.
And I think a carnival is like a place where that happens
a lot.
That's
true.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Point, yeah.
Well, and like if you look at it through that lens, then you're definitely seeing the, you know, the over-the-top imagery that exists in a child's nightmares, you know, which I visit regularly.
You visit children's nightmares.
Yeah, exactly. No, but this idea.
Yeah, you're Freddy?
Basically, I'm playing jumper. These like stretched out, they're almost grotesque images that are supposed to be like for joy, but they're too extreme. Off-screen producer was talking about it. He was talking about how the face of a clown is kind of an uncanny valley, right? Where it's not true what you're looking at. It has this falseness, but the entire carnival is that, right? Like the Hall of Mirrors, the friends that supposedly like you but are really, really mean to you.
Right.
It all has this like illusion element to it, but it's also these like stretched out morph.
Who
versions.
Was that first guy that made a stretchy mirror that like made your face like this and was like, oh, this is hilarious?
Yeah, because most of them are like, oh, I bring on another mirror.
Yeah.
The mirror factory's going under unless.
Like, this is terrifying.
They built a carnival around a broken mirror factory.
They're like,
I bet that's
a
big part of it, like, because you think a lot of the R.L. Stine Goosebump books mm-hmm. were set at carnivals.
Stephen King has a whole novel set at a carnival, too.
Yeah, it's like mm-hmm. every kid has a memory at a carnival, because that is the time where your parents just let you off on your own. It's
okay,
like,
wait, hold on. Yeah. Genuine, real, we don't have a ton of time, but real quick, carnival memories. Go. I threw up on my mom's best friend, but it was all Sprite.
Ew.
And she started screaming, stop the ride, and they wouldn't stop.
And they're like, go another time. We're going to air dry that Sprite. Yeah. Mine is, all my friends had wristbands so they could go all day on the rides. I didn't get one because my dad's like, I'm not giving you $10 for that. So I just wore a long sleeve jacket, you know, rather than my vest that I always wore. And it just kind of ran in with them. Most of the carnies didn't check, but one time I stood on the far end of the ride and the carny just tapped my wrist. And it was kind of just like looked at me. He's like, I know. And
ooh.
That look stayed with me.
And I know sometimes you say, did you just tap my wrist? I'm like, no. And you say, he's back.
Yeah. Yeah. I just felt a tingle on my wrist.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, yeah, that's my haunting memory.
My only memory is I bought a giant turkey leg and I couldn't go on any of the rides because I was like, I'm busy, guys. Like,
I'm not allowed.
They're not going to let me on this, and I'm working
and
on
it's
it.
It's the one time you went to a carnival.
Yeah.
Like, turkey legs are great. Yeah. That's all I know about carnivals.
Yeah.
I think mine is the, like, one of the rides that was, like, the one that would be a swing. That would be, like, a swing that you'd it'd spin and then all the swings would go
sure.
up.
Oh,
at,
the
like
one that's,
a,
like from a pole?
Yeah, they'd go up at, like, a 45-degree angle or something. And, like, I just always, like, I just remember being like on it and being like, this thing is rickety. I was like, yeah, this is falling apart. And also fortune tellers, which is another creepy part of it, are always at a carnival.
Yeah. But they're never with the carnival group. Yeah. They're just, they set up their own
town. Yeah, that's it. Exactly.
Have you guys ever had your fortunes right?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yes.
Oh, really? What did they tell you?
Oh, I can't tell you that.
Really? Because it won't happen? Is it a fortune cookie? Is that what you meant by having your fortune read?
I don't know. I don't need to share my future with you.
Yeah. All I got was one word.
Can you say Antichrist?
Apparently.
That's the only person that would.
Because I've already said Antichrist twice.
Yeah.
Soon is all.
I was gonna be a doctor. Well, I'm being generous to myself, but I thought
the pre-med thing.
Yeah, yeah, I was heavily pre-med. I was a microbiome major. And then my mom told me at one point, she was like, it's so funny that you're becoming a doctor, because years ago I went to a fortune teller and they told me you would like do stuff in entertainment instead. And then I quit med school that day.
You did?
No, but
it was a week.
You're
small.
Impressionable. No,
yeah, exactly. I just needed it for her to come true.
This is a Patch Adams story too.
It's beautiful. I'm just gonna point out real quick, just to go slightly back on topic with carnivals. A thing about them being creepy too is that the predecessor to carnivals were kind of the World's Fair, right? And carnivals are supposed to show you these like amazing inventions. But the World's Fair is also where America got its first serial killer. If you
not
guys know
first.
That,
not its first.
I believe it's the first serial killer.
No.
The Devil in the White City.
No, this is not the first serial killer.
Well, the first one we maybe know about.
Yeah, I think maybe
but
it's the Puritans.
It's the one. Were crazy.
There was a woman earlier in the late 1700s. Well, there's a couple, but one,
in the States.
Yeah, that was she would kill, or like late 1700s, early 1800s, and she would have she was a black widow. And she would murder her like husbands for money.
Well, what's weird is I saw a photo and she looked exactly like you.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
But also I have face blindness, so it could be anybody.
I just want to let you guys know, like, a woman did that. Like, yeah. The first serial killer was a woman.
Behind every great
America,
male serial killer, there's a female serial killer.
Yeah, yes. Black Widow.
But yeah, like the first one that I think got, you know, I mean, this was that was the time of like muckraker journalism too. Mm-hmm. So there was like
right sensationalism in the media. Too.
Yeah, he was like kind of representative of that era and like the swell of journalism at the time too.
I mean, H.H. Holmes was the one that like his story was also like in a weird way the American dream. Like he benefited from the World's Fair being in Chicago because all these like young people and young women, young couples were moving to Chicago in that moment looking for jobs, looking for opportunities. And he set up this murder hotel. He's like, come stay here. You can get a great deal. I'll keep you here for free. Yep. And then he just basically set up like weird gas chambers, trap doors, a house of horror.
Crazy.
Like, what did you expect?
He was a capitalist. He was an opportunist. He was a very ambitious man, and that's how he viewed himself.
And the Boss Family Empire was started.
That's
there
how
too.
We started. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
We bottled up their tears.
The
and
water.
Water.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I think suddenly it's became a Halloween episode, which is fine. But instead,
we're celebrating another happy event. Happy birthday, by the
way. Happy birthday.
When you're watching this. Yeah, we got a special surprise later. I've been told.
Oh my God, you guys gonna kick my ass again?
Yes.
Every birthday.
That's why I flew in, baby.
That's how I stay in my family each year. Moving on from my birth is another, nope, there's no segue. Thor 4, guys. Thor 4 is
Thor
now.
Thor 4, more Thor.
Yeah, exactly. Thorier 4.
The whole time I was like, why don't they just call it Thor? And with the 4 as the.
As the O,
like,
or something,
I was
or the
like,
H?
No, because that's Thar. And yeah. So that's
it could be the H.
They learned their lesson with Fanforstick a couple years ago.
Mr. Fanforstick. So they announced this week that Thor Ragnarok director Taika Waititi is returning to direct another Thor movie. But here's what's crazy about it. Who would have guessed that Thor would be the Avenger with the most solo outings, especially based on the first two films? Mm-hmm. So why do we think that is? Why does Thor have 4 movies and Iron Man has 3?
Well,
and
I think because those
and
first two were so forgettable. It's almost like Thor Ragnarok was the reboot of it, and this now Thor 4 is like a direct sequel to Ragnarok.
Do you think then we're going
to
get 3 movies
so.
Started over at Ragnarok?
That'd be fun.
I liked the first two, though, to be honest. I, or at least
name 16 things you liked about each one of them.
All right.
She can't.
No, I mean, I thought it was like a good, because I didn't know much about Thor, like, if the comic book character. And didn't Kenneth Branagh do, like, the first
he
one?
He did, yeah.
The first, I thought he did a pretty dang good job.
Well,
of,
he
like,
took it a Kenneth Branagh route, which
like
was...
Like, a very Shakespearean.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, I thought... I was like, oh, that's cool. I liked it. I thought it was a cool entry point. But then, I mean, I feel like this... What Taika... Waititi did is... Totally, it's so different that it is like its own thing, though. It is like a full reboot.
Agree. So they've started fresh.
Yeah,
I think once you saw like new fun Thor or newer, because you've been kind of going down that road. Yeah. Like fun, like is it though Thor? Like you were like, I'm not done with this guy. You know, like I want this new energy because you didn't really have him back for those first two series. So.
It's almost like when you discover like a fun conversation on the way out of a doorway or something, and then you end up doing the thing where you stand in the doorway and you don't want to leave.
Right. Like, it's like, I thought this party was dead, but I just found the party. I don't want to leave
when I came.
Yeah. Yeah. I am the reason.
I'm the reason.
Like, can you please unblock the bathroom door, please? I'm trying to. But our conversation.
If you compare it to like Captain America or Iron Man, both of those movies kind of found themselves right away. The first Avenger, the first Iron Man. So it's like, Thor kind of took a bit before we found the version of Thor that everyone really, really loved.
Well, it's because he's a god. It's hard.
It's hard
so
to
much
play
harder
because
it's like
because like the Superman challenge.
Yeah, sure. Or Godzilla. It's very difficult. Like Godzilla is constantly rebooted in different ways because he's so powerful. There's so many different ways you can take him, and not like one's not necessarily better than the other. They're just very different.
Well, in some ways they kind of nerfed him, right? Like they like made it so that he is more fallible. Obviously, they made him stupider.
Yeah, they definitely did. Yeah,
but that also allows like the big confident stupid idiot is one of my favorite characters that you can.
Oh, he's great.
Play.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really interesting point though, because Thor and a lot of times is compared to Superman. And I know you said Godzilla, but my point is Superman, and I don't know how to support
Godzilla
one because you're the expert on that.
Definitely like kill Superman easily in a fight.
Well, and I think no one's arguing with you
about that
except for everyone.
No.
But Superman often has the issue that your rebooting point stands where people are like, look, we want to see Lex, and then we basically want to see Zod, and then we're kind of out because there's not a lot more you can do with Superman. I mean, there is, but cinematically, it's very difficult.
I mean, you could have, like, atomic fire breath light him up or something.
Yeah, well, and also...
Maybe from, like, a giant...
There are...
incredibly powerful lizard.
Yeah. Godzilla versus Superman would make $1 billion, for sure.
Oh, my God. Yeah. They'd be great.
So do you guys think... Okay, I'm going to take you on a different path here, though. So it sounds like we're all like, yay, Thor has a new trilogy, probably. Or... You know, let's keep in mind Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. are basically like, hey, I think we're done here. And he's, you know, Chris Hemsworth is coming from the same time as those guys. Is there a chance that Thor 4 will be the last Thor?
It's possible maybe this is the last movie that has Thor in the title. Then Thor just teams up with other people in their movies. We saw that with, like, the Asgardians of the Galaxy at the end of Endgame.
Or technically Hulk.
Or Hulk, I mean, Marvel can't do their own
they
movie.
They can't, but at the same time, they almost were like, you know what, why don't we just feature him everywhere else?
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. I think what's really great is that, like, they finally found a version of Thor that seems like it's natural for Chris Hemsworth to play. So he may be done, but maybe he's like, I found this new character that I kind of want to exhaust. You know, I want to go all the way to the point. So I would say it's...
I want to play him fat.
Yeah. I want to play that version of it.
Play taller.
Yeah. Like they called him, you know, Tony Stark calls him Point Break in the first Avengers. They call him Lebowski. It seems like they kind of found a version of Thor that is in
he's
this
really
world
good.
Of the Avengers, and the way that like they found a version of Cap that really works for Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Finally, they found a version of Thor, and I would be really surprised if this was the last Thor.
I agree that it's not the last one, just because he's handing it so much of it off to Valkyrie, and she's such a
sure,
a baller
yeah.
character that. I mean, I think they're just going to set it up to weave into her whole franchise.
To become a female Thor equivalent like in the comics, but pass it off to Valkyrie instead.
Exactly.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of like of two minds on this because on one hand, you know that because they're switching out like Cap and Iron Man for at least, you know, like for this next wave of whatever's happening, you want some kind of like somebody from the old guard around. We'll probably have Hulk. But, you know, having Thor around, like, is really still, like, we're still the Avengers. This is still the, you know, like, just someone part of the old team. But on the other hand, I'm sort of like, well, it's got five, and where would you put the five in the word Thor?
Thors. And then the S, exactly.
Oh,
they're both
Yeah, Thor's, Thor's, there we go. Thor's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right? Two fours? I'm so confused.
Not fours.
Double four.
Yeah. No.
Oh, 16. We're going cubed. Got it.
Yeah. The 16 things I like about Thor. Number one. Thor.
Squared.
That's interesting. I think that I just remember this theory that somebody was bringing up that also they might use it as other ways. So Guardians of the Galaxy is one way to get into cosmic stuff, but so is Thor. And then if you have Thor 4, and then if you saw 4, and it was made of fire, and there was a circle
Wait
around
a
it.
The Incredibles.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Incredibles crossover. Godzilla.
just
the 4.
Is.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. I mean, Fantastic Four can be a cosmic entity. It could
Absolutely.
Be. I actually saw that theory that they're like, oh, maybe that's the way to bring them in instead of, you know, like explaining, hey, where have you guys been the whole time? It's like, oh, we were busy doing something, or or you came from elsewhere or something.
Yeah.
Probably not, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more likely the Fantastic Four gets introduced. That might be the next big tentpole thing. In fact, if you're watching this after Comic-Con, you may be like, yeah, duh, it's going to come out in May 2022.
Hey, right.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Should have been in
who's
Hall
that?
H.
Is that me? Was that supposed to be me?
That's the voice collectively of our
Yeah.
Yes,
birthday
of our
fight.
Yeah.
Birthday fight.
Oh, you haven't had your birthday fight yet?
I will at
Let's
the end.
Let's do
I
it.
It's coming at the end. I think it's one idea that I really liked is someone bought Avengers Tower, right? And that's we saw that in Spider-Man Far From Home. One theory is that the new occupant could be the Fantastic Four, could be the Baxter Building.
There was a four in the like signage too on the building, believe, right?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, cool.
I believe
awesome.
So. Or there was some hint to
very cool.
To a
They're gonna have to work pretty hard to make me interested
in the Fantastic Four.
Yeah,
because
they got a lot of work to do. But
they
got
a lot of work to do.
Because you're a hater, or because of the things they've already done? Because
of the things they've already done.
Yeah, the damage
the
they've
things,
done. Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. I guess like I'm also of the mindset that I hope that they start. Just in general with super, like we're at a point where we're rife for new superheroes as a whole to be starting. So I'm kind of like, I might need a Marvel break.
Okay.
Is also
okay.
just where I'm at. Yeah.
But also, I mean, even or a break from the mainstream ones that we know. And like,
yeah, exactly.
There's no shortage of characters.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, just,
focus on for a bit.
Yeah, but just like, it feels like a lot of permutations now. And I kind of want to like, now go, like, I like the idea of following Valkyrie for a while or something, just because I'm like, oh, I didn't know that much about her. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where I'm like, with Fantastic Four, I'm like, we keep putting them up at bats.
Yeah.
Keep disappointing.
You gotta imagine like a nerd like Kevin Feige is probably like, oh, finally I have a chance to do it the
yeah,
right way.
Yeah.
Exactly.
With my dolls.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Here you go. Yeah.
That's Kevin Feige.
It's yeah. I have my take on Kevin Feige.
Kevin
that is his
Feige.
Voice now.
See, this is exactly
yeah,
what Kevin Feige sounds because he tends to like sing a little.
Yeah. He's
gonna sing songy quality.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Just put a Marvel Studios cap on there.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm really impressed with all of these ideas, guys, and I think we solved what
we
Thor 4 is going to be. It's gonna they're gonna stop making Marvel movies. You said
that's it.
Yes.
That's it. They're
yes.
gonna
no
say
more.
This.
Yes.
I'm super excited. Cool. Let's take a quick break to thank some sponsors that bring the show.
All right.
New Rockstar's Rogue Theory is brought to you by some very nice sponsors. Summertime is convention season for me. We got VidCon, Comic-Con, ConCon, all the cons. And when I travel, I can't pack a low-quality disposable razor, but Harry's has me covered. They make high-quality, travel-friendly shaving supplies and razors that are only $2 a blade. A Harry's razor is as essential in your suitcase as a bathing suit or your entire Funko Pop collection. You travel with those, right? They're made in a German factory to the highest standards, and if you don't like your shave with a Harry's razor, just let them know. They'll give you a refund. This summer, refresh your wallet and your face with a Harry's trial set. It comes with a weighted ergonomic handle for an easy grip, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip, and trimmer blade for a close shave, rich lathering shave gel that'll leave you smelling great, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy on the go. Listeners of Rogue Theory can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/rockstars. Make sure you go to harrys.com/rockstars to redeem your offer, and thanks so much for supporting the show. By the way, if you want to know how good it looks when we come back from this break, I used a Harry's razor to line up the top of my beard line today, so check that out and see if you like it.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
We are
the real Brady Bros.
Brady Brothers from the TV show Brady Bunch. I'm Barry Williams.
And I'm Christopher Knight.
I played Greg. And who were you again?
I played Peter.
We've decided that we're going to do a podcast around episodes of the Brady Bunch. We're going to use it as a prism to look back to our experience doing the show and why the Brady Bunch is still popular.
Have a sunshine day.
We are the real Brady Bros.
All right, back to it.
Welcome back. I'm told, before we move on, this is the part where I'm supposed to not know what is happening.
Yes, okay, so Stranger Things Season 3, guys, my favorite thing about it was the ice cream flavors that they introduced at the ice cream store in the mall that Steve works at, Scoops Ahoy. And
This is a napkin.
Yeah. It's a
But imagine
table
if
setting.
You fold it in
wow.
half.
Oh, that's right, it's yeah, I'm going to do some origami.
Just like
yeah.
napkin.
The, apparently, Stranger Things and Netflix did like a cross-promotional thing with Baskin-Robbins where you can actually go and get those flavors. So there's two flavors that we have here. There is USS Butterscotch.
Nice.
And then there's apparently 11 Heaven, 11's Heaven, which sounds like hell,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
yeah. So
have those been under the table this whole time?
Yeah. Yes.
So these are jars of milk.
Yeah. I've been sitting on them. They taste great. But for Philip's birthday, I thought we could taste test these flavors.
Yeah.
Look at this.
Happy All right.
So we have a scoop of each in each.
A scoop of each. All right. So we got to monetize this still in our traditional on brand way.
Okay.
So we're going to do a breakdown.
Oh, great. Yeah. Let's break down the flavor.
Let's do a breakdown of these ice cream.
Zoom in the ants with our tongues.
Flavors. So let me know some missable details as you go.
Okay.
Oh,
surprising crunch. To which one's which? Do we know?
The butterscotch, I think, has that.
The tan one is the butterscotch, I think.
Which is which Demogorgon or what is it?
It's just USS Butterscotch.
Butterscotch.
This is the one that they actually eat in an episode.
I like Eleven's Heaven.
Yeah.
All right.
That's the thing though. I'm not a huge butterscotch person. So for butterscotch,
yeah, you look like
I
a normal
like
human being, not
Thank
made of butterscotch.
I'm not
in any
a butterscotch. I'm not a butterscotch person.
And there's nothing wrong with being a butterscotch person.
Yeah, you would look.
We've
like
come
you
a long
a
way in society. We still don't have voting rights, but we're joining
like,
the carny
not
lobby.
Not like the carnies, yeah.
All right.
Missable moment. There's a crunch. There's like a crunchy toffee thing going on.
Oh yeah, in the heaven one. Is that the bones of Barb?
That's Eleven just has.
Oh, it's like that's Eleven's heaven. Just crunching
God,
right into.
She just like is like I'll be right back. She goes into upside down, takes a bite out of Barb.
Take a bite of Barb.
Yeah, they don't know.
Baskin
Robbins.
Yeah, the Eggos are just like to hide. Like, yeah, I love Eggos. Sure, I love me some Barb bone marrow though, guys. While we do this, actually, I want to move on to another topic because I you know what? I don't know that the audience loves us eating ice cream, especially in podcast form.
Into the microphone?
Yeah,
yum.
Exactly.
But
we can do Barbara's best birthday?
Beth's birthday, yes. This does feel like my Beth birthday. let's go into a discussion, though, about something that's happening on our channel. And I want to kind of get the audience involved here, but you guys definitely also weigh in. And I want to talk about spoilers because I feel like, you know, we're in this kind of precarious place. Eric is more dealing with it.
You
so
could have told us before that you were going to talk
about it. Why
didn't
you warn us that we could talk about spoilers?
That's what happened. But yeah, Eric, why don't you explain kind of the situation going on?
So this is something that we've been dealing with for the past like 4 years of doing breakdowns. We'll do trailer breakdowns where we speculate things that might be in the movie. We'll do immediate like movie reviews and reactions or post-credit scene breakdowns where we have to kind of do them, you know, 24 hours after the movie. And what I found, because, you know, I go through the comments, people tweet at me stuff. Everyone kind of has like a different perception of what constitutes a spoiler and the proper timing of when you're allowed to talk about things publicly without a spoiler warning. And what kind of makes us hard is we try to do spoiler warnings at the beginning of every video just to kind of cover our bases. But sometimes just so that people know what conversation we're talking about, we kind of have to put it something in the thumbnail and in the title of the video just to kind of to allow all the people who want to talk about this stuff to find our video. And every time we do it, there's kind of, we get some blowback from people who thought that maybe we talked about it too soon. And the rule of thumb that I've kind of used in the past that I just kind of got from just talking with friends about things, when do I think is the proper amount of time to wait before we talk about stuff with friends? If it's a TV show like Game of Thrones, usually give people a day, one day, 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And then if it's a movie that's really popular, that's easy to find or go to any like AMC or Cinemark or whatever to go watch it, give people about a week. So before that point, cover everything with a spoiler warning. And then after that, if you want to just come out of the gate and say what we're talking about, then you're probably safe. But recently with Spider-Man Far From Home, a lot of folks had some differing opinions. Let's
be real specific here. So what Eric was mentioning earlier about being able to find our videos, it's very specific. It's search engine optimization. It's SEO. So you need, in order to get people to see your video as the answer to their question. So YouTube is the number two search engine in the world, right? Google's number one, and then YouTube. So many people go to YouTube to ask a question, and they might be based on a theory or something that they've read about or they've heard about. So quick spoiler, actually, for Spider-Man Far From Home. When Mysterio dies at the end, it seems like perhaps maybe he didn't. And Eric had some theory about that. And recently, the video that was posted had, like, I think it was Mysterio Not Dead the title.
Yeah, something like Mysterio Fake Death.
Or Fake Death or something. And then, like, the thumbnail, what did it show?
I think Still Alive. It was a picture of Mysterio in his dying moments.
And then how far after the movie had come out was that video
posted? This is what the tricky thing is. After the U.S. release, it was about 2 weeks, which I think is well outside the window, in my opinion. But
I think 2 weeks is my window, by the way. I think a week is actually... Yeah, 2 weeks to a month. I think TV, I agree, it's one day if it's something as like, you know, beloved as Game of Thrones or something where it's like people get together and have parties for it. It's almost like one of those things where it's like, good luck. That's on you to stay. It's like a sports game.
But that's the thing. I would argue the release of movies like Avengers Endgame and Far From Home are bigger than the Super Bowl. More people watch those things than watch the Super Bowl.
But and I have think things but the, that they search for after.
I think there's a difference. I think there's a big difference actually with the movies and TV thing, because with TV it's so much more accessible. So in a 24-hour period, you could find a way to be like, okay, well, I didn't have time to watch it last night, but here I am on my phone. I can download it.
You can watch it at home,
right?
As opposed to go to a theater,
pay money to see it.
Yeah. So on-demand experience.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Because for me personally, I love seeing movies, but I do. So we're all improvisers and stuff. I coach a lot at night and that sort of thing, and I've been working a lot. So getting out to the theater can be really tough for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think 2 weeks is good. Now, But I'm less sensitive than other people. I don't care about spoilers.
And that's the thing.
I ask,
like, what constitutes a spoiler? I'll also point out Sony did something really confusing with Spider-Man Far From Home release. They released it on a different day in several countries. So while we got it on July 2nd, the UK and a lot of other countries got it July 5th. And they always release it a week earlier in countries like China and in the like Middle East. They'll release it early because they don't have a lot of piracy laws. So if they were to release it in China on the same day as the US, a lot of Chinese audiences will just watch the pirated version. They won't make as much money. So they always release it early to get ahead of those pirates. But what I ask of people is, like, imagine this real scenario. Yes, some people compare someone spoiling something to someone barging into a room and saying Mysterio dies.
Right.
But imagine the flip side of that. Imagine you're with a group of friends and you have all seen this movie, and there's one person there a month after a movie comes out and says, I actually haven't seen it yet, so you have to all stop talking about what you're talking about.
Jake, our friend, we have a friend who has done that. Literally. Our friend Jake.
That's also a dick move. That is as much of a dick move, I think, as someone who barges into a room.
And Jake, if you're listening,
let's talk about wrestling instead.
You've heard me say it. Yeah, that's it. No, yeah. I call Jake out about it all the time. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
I'm gonna hear
it
about this tomorrow.
Yeah.
So yeah, let me add the context of our jobs, honestly. So for instance, on this Mysterio video, that is something that was in the zeitgeist at that moment. Put it maybe another 2 weeks out or something. Are people looking that up anymore, or did they already find the answer somewhere else because someone else didn't mind sharing it? So now multiply that times every major property that we talk about, so Avengers Endgame or Far From Home or a Star Wars movie or something, and then every single thing that we could talk about that is at the front of our fans' minds, our subscribers are buzzing about this, and so are we, and we're so eager to talk about it. We can't put out there that we're talking about it. For weeks, everyone else has talked about it. And then we honestly miss out on those views. We miss out on that income, honestly. Mm. And then that's how our first successes for this channel were the post-credit videos. We did some other stuff that did okay. But when we started sharing, hey, you just saw, when we started this, what movie had just come out? The Godfather. So The Godfather had this post-credit scene. Let's explain it to you of what it is. When the diehard...
Sam Jackson walked in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When Sam Jackson says, I want to talk to you about a Godfather initiative. When the movie comes out, the diehard fans saw it opening night. And they're like, man, I really want to know what's gonna happen with Sam Jackson coming out and inviting him to the initiative. We started making videos that came out like right that night. Those were our first videos to consistently hit over 1 million views. Those videos are why we have jobs doing this. Mm-hmm. Those videos are why we have a set now, why we're able to pay David's rent every year.
I keep moving to more expensive because
of this. So it just created situation where we have this business that kind of requires us to be right on the cutting edge, right in front of the moment. But if we were to wait, if we were to put, for instance, is blank really dead and a big question mark, because of search rules, we will not rank for that video. No one will find our video.
Right. Yeah.
And what's also frustrating is, like, even deeper than, like, the economic argument, it's frustrating to be an authority on this stuff and to have people tweeting at you constantly, and just because of fringe minority of folks are insisting on waiting.
Speak specifically what you mean, how people kind of harass you about
it. There are people who are like, why haven't you made anything right away? I see cyberbullying, which, whatever, I don't care. I'm over that now, but it's like, you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. So I'd rather assume that, like, if you cared about this movie that much, you would see it in the opening week. I know if you have a job, this is just my opinion, but I kind of want to know what people think about this. Oh, yeah. If you have a job or a difficult travel schedule, then it kind of becomes your own burden. There are plenty of tools you can use to filter your own experience.
Well, that's what I was going to say about my spoiler rules are for people in person. That's like for your friends and stuff like that.
Because Eric doesn't go to your house.
Yes, exactly. If there's something you really want to see that you're a big enough fan, and then you don't have the time, and then it's on you to stay offline. And because honestly, this is the same thing as sports games, but like when people tape them in the 90s and stuff like that, it's the same thing. That is on you. So
I agree. Yeah. The one thing that's tough though is, like, if I don't have time, I realize, like, okay, I need to stay off. I need to do things. I need to manage where spoilers are going to be coming from. But sometimes that might mean I can't use Facebook or YouTube at all because they will show you.
In the recommended on the sidebar.
They will just show you with thumbnails, and it's like just characters who are at the end and stuff like that. And I can't control that without literally ending use of those platforms.
So that's YouTube's algorithm problem.
Wouldn't it be amazing if YouTube offer a different set of what we call metadata, but thumbnail and title on the when it's a recommended video?
Yeah, I mean, it's more on them than the people uploading. Is like everybody should have the right to upload if they have to.
We don't
and on Twitter,
where we
though,
get
you can
shared.
Definitely go in and mute.
Yeah, Twitter makes it very easy.
If I cared enough.
Yeah, YouTube should just add a mute for certain topics.
Yeah, that's what they should
have. The topic mute would be great.
Yeah. But I would also say, like, if you're in that very, and we're getting to a very, very specific situation, set of people who can't see a movie in the opening week, if you're at that point, would it hurt you that much to stay off YouTube? If you have the kind of job where you have to go on YouTube, are you really the kind of person who can't go see a movie within the opening week of its release? Probably not. I think we're getting down to literally 30 people, and they're all the ones who tweeted at me when we did that video.
Save me my name.
Cyberstones may break my cyber bones.
Yeah, but I am not a butterscotch person.
You're eating straight out of the carton, by the way. What should you eat?
I do not want to show how little there's left.
One last point I want to get in on this. I think there also is a bit of like martyrdom and philosophical argument. Really, what we really try to do with those post-credit scene breakdowns, and in the first week when we do make videos about it, we think, would a person who had not seen the movie look at this thumb and title and know it's a spoiler?
So a lot of times people are like, this Hopper. Is
a, yeah. We posted a video, Stranger Things. It was last week's episode of Rogue Theory.
Spoiler if you haven't finished Stranger Things.
Right. Really, it's just a picture of Hopper in the final episode looking just kind of emotional. And people were like, that's a spoiler.
That's not
really
a spoiler.
Had you not seen Stranger Things season 3, you would not know what that's referring to. So a lot of what we do is kind of thinking about the psychology of people watching or scrolling through YouTube right now.
Yeah.
If unless someone else already told you that this happens at the end, you would not look at our thumb objectively
so
and say that's a
spoiler. People want to be butthurt.
Yeah, exactly. So that's another way to say it, but that's what you mean by martyrdom, mm-hmm. right? Because I feel like that's
people want a reason to be upset, and they look at something where this person is in a category who engages in this kind of behavior rather than judging them independently. And if I had just looked at this one actor on its own, would it be a spoiler? Really, the bigger problem is the broader conversation that people don't want to be a part of, but don't want to take any responsibility to extract.
Yeah, that's
from
whatever. I mean, like, we went right into what we thought about the new Godzilla film, right after it came out, and it's like. But the fans that follow that, I mean, they should know that we're going to do that. That's kind of like unassumed.
And we expect our fans, to know that. But at the same time, I think the best argument is kind of what we pointed out, that they might not have been seeking out that content, and it might have been put, been thrown into their bedroom.
Then it's still not your guys' fault. That's the search engine's fault.
Sure, but I do want to be active in this, and I want to find a way to make things better, honestly, because I don't. Well,
screw you, people. Go figure it out.
Yeah. But it's honestly like I've gotten
She's
some messages that
yeah.
I got some messages that were like, I'm disappointed in you. You know, like
your
like
mom.
This, my mom didn't. She had a busy week. She was not able to catch Spider-Man. yeah, but she had just hey babe, just want to let you know I'm disappointed in you. Yeah. Adios. All right. So. So I want this to be productive though. So Eric, I want you to share what you think you would like to propose the rules for the channel's spoilers, and then you guys in the audience, you can be sharing your thoughts in the comments, but also on newrockstarsfan.com. We're going to add a question there of just what you guys think we should do. Hopefully you now understand the context of if we don't talk about the thing and if we don't put it in the thumbnail and in the title, then we do not rank in the search and our video significantly underperforms. The brands that we work with get mad at us. Our channel starts to do worse and then we're fired.
All I'm looking for is some kind of checklist or a legal standard is, I guess, what we're saying. A simplified rule that we can just stick to every time that respects people's schedules and mm-hmm. respects people's viewing habits so that we can all kind of get along and then we can go back and reference it. And I would like to create some kind of industry standard, not just for us, but for other channels, for other media publications, so that people can go back and be like, no, let's all stick to this. And it's just a way to provide civility that goes both ways.
It shouldn't be on you. Shouldn't be on you. It should be on YouTube. If you guys have a problem with it, go harass YouTube. Really. I mean, that's their search engine. That's what it turns up. That's fine. That's
I really like
is.
That idea of like, let's actually start asking YouTube. You can start tweeting at YouTube and they do respond and we can send some emails. In the meantime, until they change something, I am willing to meet in the middle here a little bit. Well, we might take a hit based on what our fans ask us to do, but also, you know, we can only go so far. So go to newrockstarsfan.com. Let us know what we should do about our titles, our thumbnails, about Eric's other problem that we've all noticed and have not brought up because we're being kind. Do you not know?
I'd rather not know.
Okay, let's not bring that part up.
Oh my gosh, you know what they should do? YouTube should have like an add-on that lets you do like the thing that iMessage lets you do with invisible ink so that you have to wave your mouse over it to even see what the caption is. But it would show up in your search results, but it's kind of like, you know, like a blurred out porn.
Yeah, Reddit
sort of
has the redacted option.
Just redact your mouth every time.
Yeah.
It would just look like all of my YouTube was porn every time.
Okay, cool. So let us know your guys' thoughts. And then Eric, you'll make another video.
Yeah, we'll follow up on this.
For some reason, I'm not feeling so great. I don't know.
It's because you're getting old. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I just literally had.
My tummy's cold. Yeah.
I had a milk bubble come to my throat a second ago.
You guys can't.
Anybody
if
want
you're
this?
Listening, you can't. You ate a not lot now. Of this, but I do want some.
I have four more tubs that I've been sneaking bites of down here. So.
I feel like if I yelled into that, I could get an echo out.
Speaking of ectoplasm. There was a Ghostbusters picture, guys, a set photo from the new Ghostbusters movie.
Oh, yeah.
Which, of course, Finn Wolfhard is in because he's in anything that was rooted in the 80s. But what's really interesting about that, too, is that he was dressed as a Ghostbuster in last season of Stranger Things. But he was Venkman. But in this, what a lot of people are thinking based on this picture, and we'll put it up in the video version of this, but for the audio listeners, what you're seeing is some children. But specifically the little girl, she's wearing glasses that basically look like Egon's glasses.
Oh.
So people are thinking this might be a family, and we're looking at Egon's wife and kids. Harold Ramis, the actor, passed away. So it would be a way to feature him in a legacy form, is rooting it through his family. So one, do you guys think that's what they're doing? Two, and is that the kind of Ghostbusters sequel you're excited about?
Well, they did say, Jason Reitman kind of talked about, we don't know what the connection is yet between this family and the original lineup. And he said something weird like, the family doesn't know yet either. So if they are related to Egon, it might be like, you know, maybe a different name, and then they look up the fact that they were related. Yeah, there was,
or they
like
find
an
in their basement
or
something, like maybe he's just died recently, and then they're going through his stuff, whatever, and they find what is it called, the ghost catcher thing,
the trap,
yeah,
the proton,
the trap itself, yeah, or whatever. But it's kind of like Jumanji, right? Like they find it and they open it, and monkeys run out. Yeah.
Did you see
ghost monkeys?
Yeah, carnies go
ghost
out
monkeys.
Everywhere.
It's definitely a carnival in this Ghostbusters.
There better be a carnival.
There probably will be.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to say I'm completely uninterested
in the new
Ghostbusters. Yeah, like just
why is that?
Like, I mean, first of all, the fact that it's so fast on the heels of the girl Ghostbusters, it feels like it's like, okay, guys, don't worry, we made another one for
you.
You
feel like they gave in kind of to the
idea.
Feels
like an apology a little bit.
Yeah, which is also dumb because they shouldn't. And but then also we've had some great Ghostbusters. This is one franchise where I'm like, that really didn't need it. It's like the Three Amigos. It's like, you know, it's really, to me, Ghostbusters was always based around those actors too. Like, that's one of those things where it just doesn't ring the same. Like, you can reboot a lot of things and it'll be fine, as we've seen. But like, certain things were really almost, you know, they were written for those actors. Like, written for those actors.
Or those actors were involved in the writing.
Yeah. They absolutely were. And so it's, I don't know. To me, I'm just kind of like, no.
I mean, I'm
I'm
open to it. I'm worried it would be more of a like, here's all the greatest hits of Ghostbusters, guys, like in the older ones. When I want, if we're going back, I want to see a newer take on it. Like that set photo they showed, they were like in suburbia and like kind of had like a smaller town like feel to it.
Ooh, like Poltergeist or
something. Yeah, yeah. Or like
that's cool.
Like Frighteners or, you know, like something like a smaller out of the big city of New York, like maybe even just that change in setting would like refresh it a bit for me.
Give it what's the house, the haunted house in New Hampshire or in the Northeast where all the bad things have happened?
The Amityville House.
Yeah, the Amityville House. Like kind of that feel.
Because if we just do the lapse of like, you know, like, and here's the library where they caught that one ghost.
Right.
And here's,
it'd be fun to see something in the world of Ghostbusters that doesn't necessarily have to connect to, because I felt like even the Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig one, felt like it was still too derivative and referential.
Yeah,
they had cameos from Aykroyd and Ernie Hudson. Like, they all showed up and they were in the same kind of firehouse. Like, I think the world of a world where you have like exterminators for ghosts is super fascinating. Like, tell a story in that world, but don't necessarily like
show which one
is the truest, you know.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I don't mind blowing out the world. I'm down with that. If that's the case, then it's going to be totally different, then that's fine. But yeah, like you guys hit on it. It's like, okay, so coolest rule of this world of all time. Okay, no, we're just going to keep rehashing it instead of like building it out and making it its own, you know, other world series.
Right. So, well, speaking of that, then why make it Ghostbusters, right? Like, there's so much room.
Why make it
comedy.
Jumanji? It's like, because the brand, it's just popular
it's
with
brand.
Fans.
Yeah, and like, at least Jumanji just has the concept of being trapped in a game, or that the game comes to life.
And the game can go anywhere.
Feeling.
And
I
mean,
I'll
like
say,
that.
Why make Zathura? Right, like which would look like Jumanji.
Make me cry.
But definitely the concept of ghosts and the genre of comedy, that to me feels like an intersection that you could do in a million different ways. We wrote a terrible movie. that was about ghosts. Yeah, we should have just called it Ghostbusters.
I wrote a pilot that got me many, many jobs. That was like a X-Files crossover with Brooklyn Nine-Nine, like that sort of thing.
That's
you know?
Amazing.
Yeah.
So like, was it actually a crossover?
I know. I just basically had them. I called it the Y-Files, guys. I called it the Y-Files.
I love it. Here's $1 million.
Thank you. It's
about internet connections in your office.
It's about Nancy Kerrigan.
Yeah, it's about Nancy Kerrigan.
Why? That was it. Yeah, you went there. Deep hit, deep knee hit. So Lion King is adjacent to this, and I want to switch pivot a little bit, but just I don't know if you guys have seen Lion King, but it's out right now. The new version of Lion King. The other one has been out for a very long time, and you've seen that. Spoilers are not a problem about talking about Lion King.
It's
correct?
Hamlet, guys.
Yeah, Shakespeare's spoilers.
That's Hamlet.
Spoilers. It's Hamlet. No spoilers. It's only been 400 years.
It's Kimba.
That's what it is. Yeah. Kimba, yeah.
There you go. Somebody's like, Simba? Yeah, no, look it up, Kimba.
Look it up.
Kimba and the Two Strings? No,
it's anime.
Whether or not you've seen it, I think there is a conversation that's starting to come out from it. And I'll kind of like, we won't go into spoiler territory, but I'll just summarize some larger points. It basically is just a remake of exactly what the animated version was. It does some things very well, especially visually. And it kind of blows your mind because in some moments you feel like you're watching scenes from Planet Earth, except like things that you would never imagine, right? Two lions, you know, running through a desert, like on a mission. That the image of that is kind of like mind-breaking. That's cool. And fascinating. And there's some real charm in some of the performances, especially Timon and Pumbaa kind of steal the movie. And I think that's kind of a consensus that a lot of people are giving it. But the other one is, I think, a discussion worth having. And that's the issue with photorealism as a whole is it kind of is fascinating if you say like, oh, you know, animals coming to life, whatever. But they're having this issue with it's so photoreal that animals can't have expressions on their faces because their faces don't do that.
Yeah, they don't have the muscles for the 80 muscles that we use when we smile. Or
right, exactly. Yeah. Somebody was pointing out like Mufasa's like, I'm proud of you, Simba. See? All this pride on my face. But now I am angry with you, Simba. See? All this anger. Like, it's like they can't do that. What should we do about that? Should we stop making?
Gotta get some acting coaches for lions.
I think it does a disservice to animation in two ways. I think first of all,
you work in animation too.
I do. I'm a writer across the board, but yeah, I have a couple things in animation going right now. But I think two things. First of all, calling it like they've been calling it like the live action Lion King too, and it's like a BS because it is still completely animated. It's just CG, and something like the Lion King is built for adding expression to animals and doing it in animation. It lends itself to that. Why are we doing that? Like, I mean, I love the Lion King. It's probably one of maybe my favorite Disney film. But also the other side of it is when they're rehashing all of these, those writers come from the Animation Guild that wrote the original ones. They're reusing a ton of that dialogue, and those people aren't getting paid a ton.
Because when you write animated movies, you're not part of the WGA.
Yeah, you're not part of, so you don't get residuals the way like usually, WGA. Yeah. If you write for the Writers Guild, you can write a script, and then when it gets replayed, reused, or repurposed, you will always get a cut of that check. You will always get that. And in animation, that doesn't happen.
And this script is almost identical, by the way.
Exactly.
And you're saying Shakespeare
so
didn't
Aladdin,
get a dime.
It turns out. But Aladdin, the same, all of these. Like, so it's also a workers' issue, I think, that needs to be dealt with, or at least they need to, because as far as I understand, and things could have changed since like the last time I checked, but as far as I understand, they're not getting paid any extra. So I think I just have those two larger issues with it too, where I'm like, A, enjoy what animation does, and B, pay those writers.
I think a lot of the lessons to learn from like Lion King specifically is, so if you look at Jungle Book, which he did too, and like why people were pretty okay with that was, and then you look at the shots like Bare Necessities compared to like a lot of the songs going on, they center around Mowgli's reaction. And so as a human, he's able to emote and like,
which
and
is great.
Do it. Yeah. And it's like, and this works because we can center these cuts and these scenes around him. And then when you cut to Baloo singing, his face isn't super doing anything super crazy. You know, he's not making the face app smile or anything like that. But, you know, those scenes work. But then when there's no human on screen to lock in like the emotions like that, then it is like I saw some scenes that were just like, it's like the bottom half of the line moving right. and the top yeah. is just doing nothing.
And yeah. that's what animation does so well, is they borrow from human expressions and they yeah. overlay them and they kind yeah. of make their faces this uncanny,
it's like
creepy valley. But yeah,
for that.
And there's a
yeah.
second, there's a second part to it too. That's also, it's in The Lion King, like when you watch some of the songs side by side to the original songs, like in the original one, like Adult Simba is like sliding down a cliff and then he jumps on a vine and he grabs it with his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
And he
right.
falls in the water and he comes out and he's wet and he shakes.
There's
the
so
water
much
out.
Movement
There's
to
so
all
much
the
yeah.
musical
exciting
numbers.
Visual
yeah.
thing.
And this one, he keeps licking his paw.
Yeah.
The whole movie. It's, everybody look, love.
They just run on a dirt road the entire length singing the song, and I thought like yeah. maybe was it looping? No, it just,
it does look like it's yeah. a GIF at one point.
So it's just the energy isn't, you know, like
yeah.
it's not
I heard
the same.
About that. Yeah. yeah, and again, I just think it's just such a like I listen, I'll probably still gonna go see it, but I do think that it's, I do think it's weird because we're in a revolution with animation. Like Into the Spider-Verse was the best film of right. last year. Sorry, it just was. And it was leaning into the animation. So I'm just kind of surprised that Disney wouldn't, because I thought they did a great job with Aladdin, actually. Mm-hmm. I thought they did an awesome job. I actually am totally in favor of these real life reboots, mm-hmm. except for Lion King, where I felt like Disney could have leaned into something new.
Right.
I mean, it has the capability. It has the artists behind it. So I was just a little surprised.
You know,
to
it's
see
really
that.
Interesting they bring up Into the Spider-Verse, because that also calls out animation. It's not just that you can show expression. You can literally do anything. And if you're tied to the rules of photoreal, then you're, for no reason, you're adding these bounds to talking animals. Talking
yeah.
and dancing animals now have these boundaries that real life has.
Mm-hmm.
But for example, Into the Spider-Verse, they have Miles in a different frame rate than
Peter,
the later
yeah,
yeah than Peter because mm-hmm. he's bad at being Spider-Man, and then they smooth out his frame rate as
do,
the movie
yeah.
goes on, like
you
like you
can
boost
the
yeah. form
pages.
Yeah,
and that's such
you
a cool
use,
thing
yeah.
where like even if you don't realize that's happening when you first see mm-hmm. it, you like you understand it as he like becomes more fluid and as the film goes on
exactly yeah. It's kind of denying animation as a medium and keeping it in genre.
Well, and
sucks.
The animation should always serve the story and the character's emotional arc, and if it's only done just to serve the spectacle of your experience watching it, sometimes you lose out on that emotional connection
right.
between, and that was the case with Miles Morales. And we talk about the Uncanny Valley and how much a movie like WALL-E improved on what Zemeckis did with the Polar Express, and how the character of WALL-E, they were able
yeah.
to get so much emotional connection with him just with his eyes. Mm. The eyes are the mm-hmm. window to the face.
And is that yeah, beautiful?
If you don't
wow.
have
wow.
expressive
wow.
eyes,
yeah. especially if you take them out, the window to the whole thing.
Yeah.
Is that then why the Planet of the Apes movie works? Right, the ones where it's mm-hmm. essentially just apes, it's because we are able to read, you know, essentially human eyes,
yeah.
but like that subtlety that's right here.
They put a
yeah.
million dots on Circus's face,
there
and that's
yeah.
what
in
made
his,
that movie
in
a success.
In his eyeballs.
Yes.
It works for Godzilla really well too. Which, if you haven't seen
I'm
it,
not familiar
you
with Godzilla. Yeah,
monsters.
Yeah.
They paired their practical effects with the CG, so a different person played every head of Ghidorah.
So
and stuff
so too. Explain oh. real quick your involvement with Godzilla.
I love Godzilla.
There, it's done. All right. But you have a Godzuki tattoo across your back, right?
I have a Godzuki yeah. tattoo. Yes,
smoking
I fucking love
you
vanilla.
Forgot.
Yeah.
But okay, so and we need to move on, but I do want to touch on real quick. So how does Godzilla emote?
Godzilla actually, I mean, well, in all of the iterations, they've done different stuff, but like in some of them, they've done some really cool stuff with practical effects where they like made a animatronic head, I think, for him in Biollante and in Ghidorah and stuff. So you can get these really close-ups of him where he really feels like like an anthropomorphic being. And they also, and they carried that into King of the Monsters. So there's moments where he gets pretty close, and they used CG over practical, but it was dope.
And then what's the worst Godzilla?
The worst Godzilla?
The worst portrayal of a Godzilla.
1998.
Exactly.
Thank
Why?
Because he was looking like a iguana.
He's
and
a
I'm
lizard.
Sorry, I'm cussing. And he's like a CGI, and he burrows under New York. What is happening?
But also, I mean,
she, right? Because it lays eggs.
Exactly.
Yeah, life finds a way. But isn't that kind of our point, right?
Exactly.
It's like, why go toward realistic animals that we can connect less with?
Right.
Yeah.
Why do that to yourself? Like, the whimsy is that he's a monster. Let him be a monster.
Speaking of whimsy, time for Rogue Questions. We should just bring you on just every week just to do that part.
Yeah, that's cool. Guys with my ham horn.
My ham horn. Who wants a ham? Yeah. Guys, this is this week. These are questions that we don't know what the questions say, and I don't know how to read. But we're gonna find out some quick answers for some rogue questions. Number one, this week is the 20th anniversary of the release of the Blair Witch Project. Mm. What's the most scared you've ever been in a movie theater? Were we in the same
Paranormal
movie?
Activity?
Paranormal
I
Activity.
Think, yeah.
We went to go see Paranormal Activity, and every time it became night. Because it would get extra scary.
Reset, yeah.
And we were in that theater, and it was like hundreds of people in that theater, and it was like you could hear a pin drop in one of the moments, and then it just said like night two or something, and you just heard one guy just go, no.
Yeah. Didn't he say, I hate nights?
Yeah, he said, I hate nights.
That
was awesome.
But that was like we were in college, and our friends were like, they couldn't sleep alone. Like, it was a whole thing.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
That guy directed Midsommar now, and there's
no
night
exactly.
in
that movie. Oh, wow. Do you guys have any real scaredness in theaters?
I do this thing, and my therapist is going to get a kick if he ever hears this. I like cross my arms for comfort. And then I just like I shut down like emotionally. So
I do that too.
And so like whatever happens, like I don't care because I'm not here. You know,
it's like the little Men in Black alien in your head, like goes like downstairs and just
goes to the bathroom and I just
go to stasis.
And like, I'm like whatever could happen, it doesn't matter now. I'm coming.
I do the exact same thing. I do that at the Universal Studios where they do the big horror nights here in LA. They followed me around because they were like, somebody's got to get this girl. And I know, and I just kind of don't spook. But I do remember. So it made me go way, way back because I saw Jurassic Park in the theaters, and when she thinks Samuel L. Jackson's there, and then she grabs her arm, and it's just his arm, and then the raptor pops out. I remember being like, so I mean, but I was really little.
I wish they brought Sam Jackson back in a later movie, and he just doesn't have an arm.
You guys left me.
That's a fine Sam Jackson. Guys, Kingsman creator Mark Millar predicted on Twitter that Taron Egerton will probably be the next Wolverine. Remember that he just did the Elton John biopic. So who can do an impression of Wolverine singing an Elton John song?
Benny in the chats. Rocket Man.
Oh God!
Oh no! That's him crying.
Did he sing Crocodile Rock?
Yeah.
The thing called a crocodile.
He is a crocodile.
And I'll just say that it's exactly Hugh Jackman in The Greatest Showman, and you guys just butchered what you could have done. He has a beautiful voice, Wolverine, his singing voice. Margot Robbie said this week that she's never seen any Star Wars movie and never will. now somebody's gonna make her.
I love this.
She's a time traveler. She knows her future.
She knows where everything's going.
Never seen.
What's your stubborn pop culture blind spot? So I'll say it's not necessarily stubborn, but I keep trying Doctor Who. I've tried it so many times, and there's so many different ways you could go in and watch it, and I start to fall asleep. What's up for you guys?
Right now it's gaming. Like, I don't play game. I had to swear off games in high school because I was in an advanced academic program. But like everything,
and you
video
never
games
stop bringing it up.
2003 on. So when people tweet me stuff, do you see the new Red Dead trailer? Did you see the? Yeah, I have to sit out of it. Convince me to pick it back up.
Just all the sign or whatever. Yeah. But blind spots pop culturally.
I have this habit where whenever something's hot, so like True Detective, I always wait for it to be over because I have such trust issues with shows ending.
I'm getting burned.
I'm like, get at me when it's over and see how you feel now.
You should try Game of Thrones.
Yeah, there you go.
I loved it.
Game of Thrones, speaking of, received a record-breaking 32 Emmy nominations this week. Did you guys hear also the thing about Gwendolyn Christie?
HBO,
for you guys that don't know, HBO did not submit her for Emmy consideration, so she submitted herself and she got nominated.
Nice.
So always be your own biggest champion.
Yeah.
Who else in the cast deserves the Emmy the most, though?
I would say Alfie Allen. Man, that guy, like...
That arc?
That arc in that final season, I thought it was great. Did he get nominated? I'm not sure if he got nominated.
He got that diss music video from his older sister. Did you see that?
Yeah, Lily Allen wrote that song called Alfie, making fun of him.
Amelia Clark, I think she had a lot of work to do.
She had something to pull off.
A lot of work to do.
And you think she pulled it off?
I mean, I think she... She did her job to the best that she
could. I agree with that. You know what
you do? You have to submit the one scene where they tried to put a whole season's worth of story on her face.
Yes.
You know what I mean? She's just she has full conversation. Yeah.
Even that really memey thing of like her fake smile when she talks to Sansa, you know, that like you see
everywhere. Yeah, I thought that was great.
But like that's a great performance because it's a fake smile.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought she did a lot.
That's a good call. Is your answer to?
Yeah, I back that.
Godzilla. Hey, you are not allowed to answer this one.
Oh,
no, I'm kidding. Got a Twitter and Instagram. That's what the Matrix says. Instagram account this week. How does Godzilla slide into your DMs? Oh. I mean,
he don't slide. Oh wait, on his tail. He slides on his tail rail. Look, guys, look it up. Godzilla has a move where he slides on his tail with his feet forward and he slams into Megalon.
How does he slide in like a city?
If he wanted to, he could go on his tail.
Yikes. Okay. Anybody else have
I'm telling you, there's an actual way to do it.
There was just an answer. Yeah, that was the actual.
We're going to go anatomical. Yes. on it. All right, sweet.
Tail.
Bud Light has offered free beer to any alien that escapes Area 51.
Is that why this is all being talked about?
No, it's just
a brand jumping on this social media.
Yeah, it's like a meme thing.
Yeah.
So what's the best part about having a drunk alien? Does that happen to E.T.? Does he get drunk?
E.T. drinks the beer in the fridge and Elliot
gets
drunk.
Right, right. And then he sleeps with someone and regrets it. E.T. gotta go home. And so
best thing about drunk alien, they misuse their tech and they blow up the friends that you don't like.
I feel like they'd stop lying and just being like, look, you guys are effed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, okay, bro, I'm going to give it to you straight.
Yeah. To serve human or to serve man.
Yeah,
to
serve.
We're going to eat you guys.
Just let us all know what 42 means. So, all right, guys. The city of West Palm Beach. I forgot to do that. The city of West Palm Beach, Florida is playing the Baby Shark song on loop to drive homeless people out of sleeping in their park. What song would drive you out of a park?
What was it? There's that Easy Street song from Walking Dead that they used to torture Daryl. We're on Easy Street.
Oh, God.
It feels so sweet. The writer of the song was like, I just wrote that Happy Kids song. Yeah. They used it for torture on a TV show.
I mean, anything Cranberries, like...
Really?
I'm not...
Really?
I can't do it. I
turns you into a zombie?
Yeah.
Zombie! Yeah.
I
have to go.
It's because you won't linger.
I must go now. My planet needs me.
Like, I think linger. There's like an amount of reggaeton that linger. Would like make me really excited to be in a park and then like make me kill myself. So that was the last question, but since this is Rogue Theory, as we're fading out, by the way, that's it for this episode of Rogue Theory. Thank you so much for going rogue with us and our guest, Haley Mancini. Where can we find you?
At Haley Mancini or at @0_Godzilla, Zero.
Oh.
Ooh, nice. David Dong.
David Dong at David P. Dong, and it's all just pictures of me in swimsuits. So.
Oh, sweet. Yeah. Shots fired at me. Eric.
At EA Voss, it's in the name. Is that a gaming reference? I wouldn't know. Is that a
game? And real quick, you brought it up.
Real quick, what do we have coming up this week? Obviously, Comic-Con.
Everything Comic-Con. So it might already be on the channel, a breakdown of the It trailer shot by shot with our good friend Marina. And then we're doing some other everything else that has come out that I already know about because I didn't tape this episode before we learned what big things Marvel has released.
Philip Molina, at Philip Molina. I never tell people what my name is at the beginning of this, but this is it. This is the episode ends, except I just want to talk to you guys about what we think is really going on in Area 51. These are the rogue theories I want to have. You guys can have a good time. Thank you so much for this episode. Okay, but seriously, aliens or dead aliens?
Oh, dead aliens.
Dead aliens. We kill everything.
Yeah, there's no way we're
They were alive.